We're continuing our series in the 12th chapter of Proverbs by taking a look at Proverbs 12:2. Proverbs 12:2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Now, during the 2008 presidential campaign, our current president said, and I quote, "We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America." And if you paid attention to his promise, you'll know that that promise is in motion as we see ancient landmarks being plowed under. The Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks." You know, it's an amazing thing to witness these landmarks being discarded without any discussion as to the consequences of their destruction. You would think that people would think about that. Well, what if we do this? What will be the consequences of our actions? You do that, do you not? If I change jobs, what will be the consequence of my changing jobs? But our president clearly told the people what his vision is, and the people spoke to him a second time to come and carry out his vision. And it seems that he will attempt to do that at all costs. But we who believe God know that God has different ideas. You know, when God has different ideas, you better pay attention to those ideas. But he has different ideas about things, and through his Son, Jesus Christ, he has given us a glimpse of his intentions for this world in his Word. For Jesus came into the world and told his disciples that he was about to fundamentally transform not only the United States, but the entire world from top to bottom and from side to side. Now, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that transformation. I'm not happy about the transformation in the United States, but this is temporary. But the transformation that Jesus promised in the Scriptures will be eternal. I'm looking forward to that. And beginning this process, he announced that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And as part of this, he taught his disciples what we call the Lord's Prayer, which includes these words. Now, these are such strong, important words to remember, not just to pass over as a prayer that you memorized as a child, but this is his declaration for transforming this world. For he said in this prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Oh God, if we could have in our hearts that prayer every day, that we would hallow your name. And then he said this, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now that's a transformation that Jesus Christ prayed the Father for. So the answer to this prayer will indeed fundamentally transform the earth, for the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be in place, and everything Jesus told his disciples about the kingdom will come about. Every jot, every tittle, everything that Jesus said about the kingdom will come about. Now, throughout the Gospels, we are given principles by which this kingdom will operate. Pay attention to those principles if you expect to live in the kingdom. You know, if you're going to a place, you want to learn about the place. If you're going to go to Italy, you want to know about the Sistine Chapel. You want to know about the Vatican. You want to know about all the Colosseums in Rome. And you may want to go and see Da Vinci's works of art and Michelangelo's works of art. You learn about the place you want to go. So pay attention to the principles that God gave us about where you're going. Are you going there? I'm going there. Follow me and I'll take you there. At some, well, I won't take you there, but I'll be there perhaps to welcome you. Now, in Matthew 25, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who left his servants with orders to increase his goods while he was away from them." Boy, that sounds familiar. That sounds like Jesus Christ going to be with the Father and leaving us in place to increase his goods. And in so doing, he gave them the wherewithal to bring an increase. Did you know that God has given you the wherewithal to bring him an increase? Now, all were equipped. All of these in this parable were equipped with whatever was needed to bring increase to the master. God gave them the tools. He didn't bind their hands. He didn't lock them up, but he gave them the tools. And to one, he gave 5 talents, not 51, 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1 talent. Now, it's interesting. I wonder how he chose what talents to give who. He knew what he was doing. Now, the 5 and 2 talent servants doubled the master's talents by trading and profiting from those trades. The 5 and the 2 talent servants doubled the talents. In other words, they put at some risk the master's goods in order to bring him a profit. You know, as a Christian, you've got to step out. You've got to put yourself at risk in order to increase the master's goods. But one servant was timid. He says, I'm afraid. I don't want to put my master's goods at risk, because he thought that the master was harsh and would be harsh on him for losing the 1 talent. Now, what happened? Well, the 5 and the 2 talent servants received well done praise. You know, I'd love to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," wouldn't you? Don't you want to hear those 2 words? Well done. Well, these 2 servants, the 5 and 2 talent servants, received well done praise and rulership over many things for bringing the master profit. But the master did not favor the 1 talent servant in any way, and instead banished him from his presence, taking the 1 talent that he buried and giving it to his now 10-talent servant. You see the economy of the kingdom. Oh, this is against the economy of America. This is the economy of the kingdom. That's the principle that you should have in your head as you operate in the kingdom. You know, you're in the kingdom now. You're here as a part of the kingdom of Christ, and you operate in this principle. So this principle is this: God shows favor on those who use what they are given in order to bring profit to him. That's the principle. Now, you may be a 10-talent person. You may be a 5-talent person. You may be a 1-talent person. But God expects you to use what you've been given to bring increase. He doesn't ask you to bring the increase of the 10-talent person, but he asks you to bring increase on that which he's given you. Now, God put his first man and woman in a garden to dress it and to keep it. He didn't just say, go to the garden, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. He didn't say that. I'm going to put you in the garden. I want you to dress it and to keep it. Now, God provided the garden. He provided all they needed to dress the garden, and he expected results from that investment. Now, we show this image of God in our lives when we have something to invest, do we not? When we have something to invest, desire an increase. You know, you can go down now, it's so exciting, and start a savings account and get 1/10 of 1% interest. See? But this is the, we have a desire in our hearts to get increase on our investments, so we look for a place where that increase will bring the most profit, do we not? Now, in the case of money, we do not put our money where there will be no increase. Now, you can almost put it under your mattress. You may be better off, I don't know, today. But generally speaking, we look for a place where there will be an increase and where there will be no loss. For it is natural to want profit. So God has, we're built in the image of God. God has this. It's natural for him to want an increase. Now, Jesus Christ in John 15:1 told us that he was the vine. Now, he was planted by God the Father, whom we call the husbandman. See this? This lesson here, same lesson about the talents. Now, husbandmen do not plant vines for nothing, for there is no value to vines that do not produce fruit. If you have vines in your yard that don't produce fruit, you usually pull them out. Now, they may produce flowers, which is a fruit, and you may enjoy that. But vintners do not plant vines that do not produce fruit. So God is a husbandman, and every act of God as a husbandman is for the purpose of gaining fruit. Now, Jesus said, as the vine of God, I came to relax. I came to this earth to enjoy all the benefits of the earth. He didn't say that. He said, I came to seek and to save sinners. Now, he could have said, I came to find grapes for the Father, the husbandman, for I am the vine, and I am looking for branches where grapes will thrive. He could have said the same thing. And in order for grapes to thrive, God sent forth his Spirit to tend to the branches that they may bring forth much fruit. God's a good husbandman. He takes care of the branches upon which fruit thrive. And he sends his Spirit to do that. Now, we are well taught of what Paul wrote the Galatians in chapter 5, 22 and 23 about the fruit of the Spirit of God. That fruit that was designed to come from the branches of the vine. Now, we're going to get into where we're going with this proverb by reading this list of fruit. Love, we talked about love. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. My, this is an age which requires long-suffering, doesn't it? Gentleness, and then goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. They're connected. God doesn't say, well, I'll give you meekness. And Elizabeth, I'll give you goodness. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm going to give you the fruit of the Spirit, which is all of these things. So notice the connections here. First, the husbandman who plants the vine, then the branches that come from the vine, and then the fruit which the husbandman is pleased to harvest, for all was done in accordance with the husbandman's direction. Now, there is no fruit apart from this process. Well, what about this charity over here? Well, is it apart from this process? Well, yeah, but they do such good work. That's not fruit pleasing to the Father. This process is successful because of the attention and favor of the husbandman who began the process and sees the process through to the end. Now, our proverb we are studying today speaks of the favor of God and allows us to continue our thoughts regarding God as a husbandman who cares for that which he has planted and the fruit thereof. Our proverb says this, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn." So we have a picture of a good man and a picture of a wicked man. God chooses to favor one of those. Now, my wife goes out and tends to her garden. And every time she goes out, she exercises or expresses this proverb as she chooses to favor some things in the garden and condemn the other things in the garden. Now she comes and she has this wheelbarrow full of weeds. You know, I look at it and I don't see any flowers in that wheelbarrow. Where are the good? These were condemned, she says. Condemned to the fire. And she asked me, what pile should I put them in? That pile over there. Send them to that pile. Because this pile is full. So she goes over there talking to this pile of wicked weeds. Doomed for the pile of fire. And all her flowers are smiling because they're good. So every time she goes in the garden, she lives out this proverb. Now, Jesus was called a good master by one who sought eternal life. And Jesus challenged him by saying, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is, who? God. God." Now, we have learned that God, as a husbandman, has planted the vine of Jesus Christ, which has produced the branches upon which fruit grows, and one part of that fruit is called goodness. Now, God, in doing that, desires that his branches also be called good. And we see this in our proverb by God identifying a man as good. You can be put into the category of a good man by God through his Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit. You know, God is good. And as a husbandman, he wants his good to flourish. What did I talk about this morning? By we being the body of Christ. What are we to spread? We're to spread goodness. That's part of our responsibility, to spread God's goodness. He looks down at this church and he says, "Is Grace Bible Church spreading my goodness?" And then he answers the question, because he knows. But he wants his good to flourish, and therefore, by his Spirit, he endows a person with good, and God will favor that person to encourage good. She goes out in the garden and favors the flowers. She digs up around the flowers. She puts fertilizer there. Oh, this one needs water. This one needs talking to. I've got to deal with this. She shows favor on what she defined as good. And that's the same thing that God does. As Psalm 33:5 tells us, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Boy, it doesn't take much to look around and find the goodness of God. You know, you go out at night and you see the beautiful moon. That's part of the goodness of God. You go get a cool glass of water. That's part of the goodness of God. You bow your heads in prayer and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this meal today. That's part of the goodness of God. And God looks for a good man. He looks for a profitable man to carry forth his good. And the one who carries it forth will be provision to carry it forth. Isn't that what he did with the talents? He said, I'm going to give this one talent, not to the two-talent person. Who did he give it to? The most profitable. He had something for the two, but in this case, he gave it to the one that had 10. He therefore gives the fruit of goodness to his children, that they may carry it forth for him, and he outfits the person with favor, that the carrying forth will be effective. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense to endow the person that is doing something for you, following your orders? You know, it's like the military. Okay, fellas, we're going to battle, but I don't have a rifle. Well, we're going anyway. No, the army doesn't do that. The army endows the soldier with all the things he needs to perform the mission. Now, he will not only be a good man, but that goodness will flow to others. Now, you may be a good man, but is that goodness flowing to others the same as seed cast to the ground by the husbandman brings forth much seed? You know, God has invested much in bringing forth good men and good women that his goodness fill the earth. How much has God invested in us? You know, he's invested his only begotten Son, and that Son is the first fruit to be followed by many who are to be made good in the image of Christ, and that image is to reveal goodness. You see that pattern that is in the kingdom? God's invested in us. How would you like to invest in something and your investment sits there? Well, it's still there. Yeah, but I want an increase. Yeah, but it's still there. Be happy. Well, that's not the way God is. God wants increase. He's invested in you, and he wants a product from you. He wants something from me. He wants increase. Now, who is this good man? What is a good man? Well, we'll look at that if we have some time. In Psalm 112:5, we are told that a good man showeth favor. Well, I thought the favor was from God. Yeah, but see how it moves? God shows you favor. What do? I hard the favor of God. No, you pass that on. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. You know, a good man is ready to help others to be successful. You know, you should be ready to help others succeed, and so that they may be a good man and bring increase to God. He is ready to unite with others to work in order for others to profit. He will lend from what God has given him, that others' work will be efficient. He'll be a lender. His ears are open to needs that he may fill. Do you have your ears to the ground in this body of Christ? Do you have your ears to the ground in the neighborhood that you may show goodness to others? You know, the pastor on occasion calls for help, and he's looking for the good man. He's looking for the good woman, because the good man and the good woman have a listening ear and ready hands, for they are doers of the word. The good man exercises great care in managing his affairs and that of others he may be involved with. He is prudent in the use of that which God has entrusted him in order that God continue to show him favor. Don't you want the favor of God in your life? Well, be like the five-talent person and bring an increase. It makes sense that God is going to endow you with favor if you're bringing increase. The good man knows that all that he has comes from God. I remember early in my time in the church, Dr. Hobbs did a series on stewardship. Oh, that made a big difference when you think about yourself as a steward of that which you're given. A steward is handling that which he's been given for a master. But he knows that all that he has comes from God, and that one day he, as he asked the servants to whom he gave talents, God will ask for an accounting. You know, he's going to say, show me the increase. Where's the increase? You know, Jesus was in the business of making good men, for in Matthew 12:35, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. So here we have a deposit and a withdrawal taking place, a little banking transaction right here in this verse. So Jesus is the treasure maker, for that which is deposited in the heart, which goes by the name of treasure, is the Word of God. Are you depositing the Word of God in your heart? You know, God is good. He's good to good men, for God is faithful to make treasure available to them. Why? That they may bring it forth. Not to hoard, not to be good to yourself, but to bring it forth at the proper time. Out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. You see, God is the everlasting husbandman. He plants in the heart of a good man everlasting words, which are there for harvest at the due time. It's a planting in the heart. Proverbs 15:23 talks about these words that are withdrawn at the proper time. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You know, you can say something to a person, and you may not think that it's so important, but to that person it may be, well, I really needed that. I really needed those words. Those words were such an encouragement and a help to me. And then Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. You know, God pictures words like golden apples. Apples that are desired to be eaten and words that are desired to be heard. They fit well together, for they are presented in such a way that hearing is encouraged. You know, when you spout off and get things off your chest, that generally is not designed to help the other person. It's designed to help you. It's a selfish act. But words are to be fitly spoken. Words are given not to uplift the good man who speaks the words, but to help the one spoken to. They are treasure words. Words desire to be retained and acted upon. Notice that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. The beauty of the silver basket sets off the fruit contained in the basket, thereby causing the observer to desire and select the apple. By the way, you ladies in the kitchen, you do this all the time. You set the table in a certain way. You put this food over here, you put this food over here. This thing is just cut the right way. The glass is in the right place. The silverware is on the right place. Why do you do that? Well, it's an appetite increaser to see it presented in a fine manner, not in a paper piece of old paper and something like, you know, plastic forks. And, you know, it just doesn't present it well. This is what it's talking about here. Present your words as they were in a silver basket, golden apples that you come by and say, oh, I want to choose to bite that apple. That's what we're talking about in this passage. So in other words, a good man speaks words in a manner that words spoken will be accepted more readily, for they are spoken properly or fitly, for upon this good man God has shown favor. You know, I don't know if the pastor will appreciate this, but he wrote a letter to a critic about one of his articles, and it was a word fitly spoken. It wasn't a rant and a rave and you dirty, no good, well, you're sound like that, but it was a word fitly spoken designed to help the other person. Now, who knows where that will go? He has a mouth that will tell others and so on and so on, but he gives the good man out of the treasure of his heart words that enhance the attractiveness of truth. Words that frame truth in a way that attracts. See, this is something that preachers have to work on too. Words that frame truth in a way that attracts, a way that enhances the word's ability to accomplish a purpose, for truth can be presented in such a way that it repels. That's not the Bible way. God desires that truth be presented in a fitting way, in an acceptable way, and he will equip the good man to use words that are fit, words that fit the times or the seasons or the temperament or the age, words that are proper. A lot of responsibilities for the good man. But what does God do? He gives you his Spirit. We can rely on the Spirit of God. You know, all the words from God are good. And we have his Spirit. And then in Psalm 37, I'll stop here. 37:23, we are told that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Now, the man delighteth in his way. See that phrase, and he delighteth in his way. Do you delight in your way? You will if your steps are ordered by the Lord. If you seek the Lord's will for every step that you take, you'll say, wow, this is such a fine way. I love this way. It's the best way. Of course, Jesus said, I'm the way. Well, that's wrapped up in that, but he delighteth in his way. He's glad that he's in that way because that's the best way for him. So a good man is good because he has what? A good God. It flows down. He's the husbandman. Husbandman always wants to have fruit, and he endows that fruit with goodness in this case. Father, we are thankful to you for this wonderful proverb. Help us, Lord, to put it into our hearts, put it into our souls. And realize, Father, that we're not here just to pay attention to our own selves, but we're here, Father, as fruit in your basket that others may eat and enjoy and know you also as their Savior. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.